Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. There may be no other playwright whose works have been adapted as many times and in as many ways as William Shakespeare. The Bard's works have been transformed over the generations to make his work relevant to new and diverse audiences. Today, we're examining how Shakespeare's works have been reimagined with a Borderlands perspective. The Bard in the Borderlands reflects the histories and realities of the Borderland through the lens of Shakespeare's masterworks. The works are not just being presented to introduce a new way of telling the story, but in challenging colonial power and championing social justice. A group of scholars, educators, artists, and activists formed the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva in 2018 to change how Shakespeare is taught and performed. Dr. Catherine Vomero Santos is an associate professor of English at Trinity University in San Antonio. She's one of the co-founders of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. She says the idea to form the Colectiva started after a Shakespeare symposium at Texas A&M San Antonio.
And we started to realize that there was a lot of excitement and energy around Borderlands adaptations of Shakespeare's plays. And when we realized that people wanted to teach with these plays, we decided to edit an anthology. And what started as an anthology of about 8 plays has become a 3-volume anthology of 14 plays. And already we can see that these plays are transforming the way that Shakespeare is taught, not just in the Borderlands, but all over the country in North America.
And these plays, do they all sort of have a cultural leanings to the Borderlands? In other words, Chicano, Mexican-American, Latino?
Yeah, absolutely. These plays are adapted by Chicanx, Indigenous, and Latinx playwrights who are either from the Borderlands or have personal connections to the region. And their approaches to Shakespeare are really wide-ranging, but in all cases, they are using their languages, their cultures, and their histories to retell Shakespeare's stories in a way that is culturally relevant and culturally sustaining.
And there have been adaptations of Shakespeare over decades, over centuries. So can you explain maybe how this might be different than, say, a film adaptation that might be loosely based on a Shakespeare play? How is the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva unique in those types of efforts?
Well, I think one thing that makes it unique is that these plays do work with Shakespeare, but they're rooted in Chicano teatro. They're rooted in indigenous forms of storytelling. So Shakespeare happens to be a vehicle, and a really powerful vehicle where there are lots of resources and lots of familiarity. But at the end of the day, these plays are really Mexican-American, indigenous, and Latinx plays. And Shakespeare happens to be an interlocutor for those types of storytelling and art forms.
And so we're also talking to Jose Cruz Gonzalez, who is a playwright with, I'm going to guess, at least 50 years of experience behind you. And I'd like to know what it is about Shakespeare that has impacted some of the plays that you've written in your career.
My early memories of Shakespeare are going to the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. I grew up on the Central Coast, and so my family were farm workers, and so we had this opportunity in our public school to be bused up to San Francisco to see these productions as an elementary school student. And one of the things of going into a trip like that was huge, but also just, you know, mind-bending in so many ways. Of course, going from a little farm-working town to the big city, and then stepping into a 1,000-seat house, this sort of traditional theater, proscenium theater, and then suddenly watching these actors perform Shakespeare and not understanding a doggone thing, but quite moved by the story, by the performances, by the production values, and just intrigued, excited, and then every now and then you'd go, oh, I think I know what they're talking about. So, you know, over the years, that was something that was embedded in me, and I think a lot of young students of that time, and it really wouldn't be until many, many years later in college when I started studying Shakespeare and acting, you know, starting as an acting student, that I became really privileged to actually, you know, learn these plays and see what Shakespeare was doing in terms of storytelling and innovation and in storytelling, and, you know, understanding how a piece can transcend time. They're timeless pieces and interpreted in so many ways by artists across the world. He's a giant. And so every now and then, you know, you go, gosh, if I were to adapt this, what would that look like in my through my lens?
And how have you adapted it through your lens?
Well, I wrote a play called Invierno, which is inspired by Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. But it's set specifically here in California, just before the Mexican-American War. And, you know, you had the gold rush, the all these different cultures coming from around the world. And then you had the Chumash community, indigenous communities here in California. And so you had this clash and fusion of culture. And I was intrigued to look at that through that lens and see what I might discover in terms of telling that story with that in mind.
And the whole plot of Invierno and The Winter's Tale, I myself am not a Shakespeare enthusiast. I will confess that right now. There is a language barrier for me to understand because it's not the English that we're used to hearing. But when I was reading the synopsis of your play and The Winter's Tale, it really does read like a novella. There's a lot of drama. Oh my gosh, somebody is sleeping with my best friend and they're having an illegitimate child. But no, no, wait, the child is actually really yours. And oh no, there's some tragic deaths along the way. I mean, there really are universal themes, like you were saying, in these particular plays. And I think it's just really fascinating how you are taking that and setting it in a place and time where you think it might be relevant.
The wonderful thing about adapting something or being inspired by something is that there's a construction already there in the story. You know, I mean, there's a beginning, middle, and end. And then it's beginning to think, how then do I interpret it through what I'm exploring? That's the fun part of then saying, okay, I'm going to take this meal that, you know, somebody else made from a different country, but now I'm going to interpret it in different ways with different flavors, perhaps with different vegetables or meats or sauces, and it becomes something new and different and yet still rooted in the past, but something new for the future.
And Catherine, I want to ask you a little bit about what I brought up earlier about how there's a language barrier just within English with Shakespeare. And when you are bringing these stories to students, how do you convince them that Shakespeare is not boring? It's fascinating. It's exciting. I needed you as my professor in English. How do you convince the students that Shakespeare is universal and you need to sort of get past that language barrier in order to really see what he was trying to convey?
There is no doubt that Shakespeare's language is difficult. One of the difficulties is time. Time has passed and our language has changed. But another one of the difficulties is the verse form that Shakespeare was writing in. So if I can help students to see how Shakespeare was working as an artist by showing them how a contemporary artist is adapting Shakespeare, we can begin to appreciate what Shakespeare himself was doing with language and how he was taking storylines that feel like novellas. The Winter's Tale is borrowed from a European source, and see how he was crafting that story by playing with words, by rendering them into poetry. Then I think that we can begin to see that it's worth the effort to understand how Shakespeare is telling the story and to unpack that language. And with these multilingual plays, sometimes seeing it either in contemporary English, in contemporary Spanish, and Spanglish helps them to understand that we all have linguistic tools that we use to tell stories, and Shakespeare was using the tools that he had available to him, and that we can appreciate them, not to worship him as a genius, but to see him as somebody who is invested in his cultural milieu, who was trying to tell stories that would appeal to London urban audiences. He wasn't writing for these high culture spaces. He was writing for the people.
And nowadays, you know, it's interesting. You have that stereotype now that Shakespeare is very foo-foo, but it really wasn't the fact back in the day.
No, it wasn't. In fact, right now, you know, one of the things that I'm teaching is related to the Borderlands Project, but is in some ways distinct. I'm teaching a class called Absent Women in Shakespeare. And we're reading his plays for the gaps and the characters who are not on stage but might be referred to. And a lot of times those characters are women, and particularly women of color. So while we can appreciate the ways in which his plays are universal, we can also see the ways in which he didn't tell stories for everybody, and that not everybody's perspectives are represented. So that's where the work of adaptation comes in. And that's what's so wonderful about these Borderlands plays, is that these artists, including Jose, are not just seeing themselves in the text, but they're seeing where they can fill in the gaps and tell stories that feel true to them and to the places where they're from.
Catherine Vomero Santos is an associate professor of English at Trinity University in San Antonio and a co-founder of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. We're also talking with California-based playwright Jose Cruz Gonzalez, an emeritus professor at California State University in Los Angeles. Gonzalez has contributed to the first two volumes of The Bard in the Borderlands, an anthology of Shakespeare appropriations in La Frontera. When we come back, adapting Shakespeare to the Borderlands means exploring the cultural and political surroundings of the setting.
For example, one thing starts to evolve is languages, multiple languages. You know, you've got Russian, you've got Spanish, you've got English, you've got Somali, the native Chumash language.
Our program continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The first play in the latest volume of The Bard in the Borderlands is The Merchant of Santa Fe, an adaptation of Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice by Ramon Flores and Lynn Knight. It's set in 17th century colonial era New Mexico, prior to the Pueblo Revolt of 1680. It follows Jews of Latino descent who must live in secrecy. Jose Cruz Gonzalez's contribution to the volume Invierno is a reimagining of Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. It's set in the Mexican territory of California and is a multilingual adaptation that features the Samala language of the indigenous Chumash Indians. We're talking today to Gonzalez and to Catherine Vomero Santos, Associate Professor of English at Trinity University in San Antonio and co-founder of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. The Colectiva has issued two volumes of The Bard in the Borderlands, a collection of adaptations of Shakespeare with a Borderlands perspective. Jose Cruz Gonzalez says it's a different kind of challenge to adapt an already existing work than to create an original play.
Well, creating something original is always the challenge. But if you already have a structure, or rather a roadmap, then it's about how do I go on this journey? How do I now take the road? Which way do I go? How fast am I going? How, you know, all those little details. And that's the fun part of trying to figure it out. But also, you know, it takes a lot of research in terms of Invierno, you know, looking at, you know, the 19th century, the mid-19th century, and looking at what was going on with the forces of migration and changes within California being part of Mexico at that time and eventually becoming a part of the United States. All these different sort of cultural and political things that were happening, and then sort of distill that down to see, well, then how would that fit in this version that I'm trying to tell of The Winter's Tale? For example, one thing starts to evolve is languages, multiple languages. You know, you've got Russian, you've got Spanish, you've got English, you've got Somali, the native Chumash language here. Then you have to drill down to go, well, am I appropriating anything here? Who do I need to talk to begin to drill down into these areas for more specificity and accuracy? And so that's a fun challenge.
How were you, Jose, drawn into the Shakespeare Borderlands Colectiva? How were you approached? Were you aware of them?
I was not aware of them. And of course, Catherine and her colleagues reached out to me. And it's been, you know, such a great a great relationship because I've been able to go see and participate in their conference. To be able to see other artists talk about their work, about the scholarship that's going on, and being able for them to record that, contextualize it, and write about it, and again, share it to their students and other colleagues around the country.
Catherine Jose just brought up a conference that you all held in March. Can you tell us more about it? It had to have been, you know, terribly exciting to be able to host these scholars and artists from across the nation.
It was a wonderful event. We had funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities and from the Mellon Foundation, as well as some support from the Folger Shakespeare Library and the Arizona Center for Medieval and Renaissance Studies, who's our publisher. And we had a two-day event on the campuses of Texas A&M San Antonio and Trinity University, where over 200 people joined us, both to present their scholarly, creative, and pedagogical work, but also to have conversations about what Jose was talking about. The genealogy of Borderland Shakespeare runs deep. It has deep roots in Chicano Teatro, but it's also a tradition that we see as growing. In the same day that we had conversations about the kind of origins of this tradition, we had a group of students from the Rio Grande Valley perform their play, This Is Not Romeo and Juliet, in which the central conflict is over raspas and snow cones. And the stakes are incredibly high for those families. And I think that what was so beautiful about that was to see how empowered those students from the Valley were to be performing Shakespeare in their language and to tell their stories. And the refrain that we heard throughout the conference was, wow, this is the community I've been looking for. So I think for us, creating these anthologies and building this space where people can come together has been so affirming and validating what we saw in 2018 when they hosted their symposium and what we've been trying to do over the past several years.
You brought up the anthology. It's a 3-volume anthology. The first volume, I believe, came out last year. The second one is just out, and the third one should be out next year. So can you maybe give us a synopsis of what each volume contains?
Sure. Yeah. So volume one, which came out in 2023, starts with probably the most commonly taught Shakespeare plays, Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet. We wanted to begin there because we thought that that would be the easiest way to get Borderland Shakespeare adaptations into classrooms. And it makes sense that those plays, because they're so commonly taught, would be so commonly adapted. Volume 2, which just came out, turns to comedies and tragicomedies or problem comedies and really explores the ambivalence of comedy as a genre. It's not just humor and fun, right? A lot of comedies are inflected with tragedy. The Winter's Tale is a tragicomedy, begins with these tragic deaths and separations, ends with a sense of resolution and reconciliation. But even a play like The Comedy of Errors, which is an early Shakespeare comedy and maybe the most traditionally comic in its form, is a play about family separation and reunion. So when Bill Rausch and Lydia Garcia adapt it to La Comedia of Errors, they are thinking about a family that is separated by the U.S.-Mexico border. And while the play is incredibly humorous, it is also dealing with very serious issues of migration and deportation and about the ways in which communities can rally around each other to make a comic ending possible. Volume 3 is a little bit more experimental and takes maybe a harder turn away from Shakespeare in some cases, but we have plays like the late Greg Barrios' IDJ, which is a kind of queer Chicano retelling of Hamlet during the AIDS pandemic. And we have a futuristic play called El Henry, which takes El Henry IV Part 1 and sets it in a post-apocalyptic San Diego, now known as Aztlan City. And we have a Narco Macbeth, as well as a really beautiful play called Rough Magic, which is a reimagining of Shakespeare's The Tempest, set during Hurricane Harvey and primarily written for young people. So there's a real mixture in Volume 3, but we're excited about the experimental nature of that volume.
And Jose, you are included in Volume 2 of The Bard in the Borderlands, which is the name of the publication that's part of the anthology. Do you see yourself maybe taking on some more Shakespeare adaptations as a result of your involvement in this project?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. I wrote a piece late last year and still working on it called Shakespeare and Cervantes. It's an original piece, but it takes the idea of bringing together what if Shakespeare and Cervantes actually got to meet, you know, and what would that be like? And so it's been a fun piece. It's a comedy.
And Catherine, we are going to be airing this program on the weekend that you are planning a release, a public release of Volume 2. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're really excited to be having a reading, discussion, and performance at the Latino Collection in San Antonio Public Library's Central Library. And I'm really excited to be collaborating with one of my former students, Kaylee Avila, to organize that. And Kaylee was my research fellow for The Language of Flowers for Volume 1. So it's really coming full circle in a wonderful way. But we thought that instead of having our audience just listen to us three scholars read from this anthology, that it would be really fun to invite the Creative Arts Studio to join us. So they're going to perform some scenes from This Is Not Romeo and Juliet on Saturday, October 19th.
Dr. Catherine Vomero Santos is an associate professor of English at Trinity University in San Antonio and co-founder of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. We're also talking with California-based playwright Jose Cruz Gonzalez, a professor emeritus at California State University in Los Angeles. Two volumes are now available of The Bard in the Borderlands, an anthology of Shakespeare appropriations in La Frontera. They're co-edited by Catherine Vomero Santos, Catherine Gillen, and Adriana Santos. Both volumes feature cover artwork by Rio Grande Valley native Celeste de Luna. Volume 2 of The Bard in the Borderlands will have a public book launch Saturday at the San Antonio Central Library. It features readings from the plays in the book and a performance of a scene from This Is Not Romeo and Juliet, performed by the Creative Arts Studio from the Rio Grande Valley. The program starts Saturday at 11 a.m. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewa composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.